You're listening to X-Ray FM, KXRY, Portland at 91.1 and 107.1 FM, and in Nehalem, Wheeler, Manzanita, and Rockaway Beach at 91.7 FM. Streaming online everywhere at xray.fm. Radio is yours. What is success? What does it mean to be successful? Is it all about money? Or is it all about love, fame, attention? Or is it some secret other thing that we've yet to explore? I'm Brianna Wheeler, and I want to know what success means to the people that I think are successful. Because success can mean so many different things to so many different people. So let's discover a few new ways together. This is Success Stories. Welcome to Success Stories, a 30-minute radio program and accompanying podcast featuring Portlanders who have found success in unique and inspiring ways and have shifted Portland's creative, economic, and cultural landscape in the process. Success Stories is about the people who give, nurture, and help keep Portland's reputation as the coolest, nerdiest, weirdest, and most beautiful city in the nation fully intact. Today, we're welcoming Brian Parham, the co-founder of Rock Dojo, the author of the Null Song Chronicles, and the creator of Rise. Brian is a music educator here in Portland who is doing amazing things with our community, and we just are thrilled to have him. Thank you so much for being here today, Brian.
Thank you so much for having me, Brianna. I'm so excited to be here. Let's do this.
Yes. That's the energy. That is the energy we want. Wonderful.
I've already had 3 coffees this morning.
Oh, snap. Me too, dog.
No, this is how much I love music and how much music education has impacted my life and how much I've seen it impact the lives of young people all across Portland. And I'm really honored to be able to be here today and serve as an ambassador for music and music education.
Thank you so much. And I think that your story as a music educator is so powerful and uniquely powerful because of the origin story of how you got from there to here, because your origin story starts like in childhood.
Yeah,
I mean, and it's not funny. Like, it's a little bittersweet. Why don't you fill our listeners in on this kind of inciting incident that led to the stroke of genius moment that ends up with Brian Parham being the master guitarist that he is today.
Well, it's funny because when I think about my origin story, there's so many different origin stories because I've done so much in my career. I created the Rock Dojo in 2015 with my wife. And this is an incredible music program, the best of the known education music world, in my personal opinion. And on top of that, I also wrote an award-winning metal musical for kids in 2023 when COVID hit. And that was an incredible project, the likes of which the world has never seen before. And now there's the Null Song Chronicles, which is the best of the unknown world. It's something that we've never seen in music education, a completely new, unique, and innovative way to teach kids in a way that actually engages them, that motivates them, that inspires them with metal music, with comic books, with story-driven musical missions. It's like Pokemon meets Star Wars meets Portland. And so it's like, which origin story do I tell? But I'll go back to the beginning. So I grew up in Exeter, Pennsylvania, a small coal miner town. And I was like, I'm just going to say it, like 5 siblings, all different fathers. I grew up super poor. Me and my other sister, who's actually my half-sister, Nicole, we're the only 2 Black people in our entire community.
Wow.
Like, for the whole, what we knew of that area. And we didn't have, we didn't have music. I mean, when I was a kid, I always dreamed about playing guitar, and I dreamed about the martial arts. Those were my two passions. I wanted to be like a world champion fighter, and I wanted to be the best guitar player in the world. But like my mom, well, first of all, we didn't have music education, and my mom would never sign me up for karate lessons. So I struck out on both of those. But I had an older brother, and I'm just only remembering this right now. I had a brother named Paul who was actually killed by a drunk driver when he was 18 years old. And I vaguely remember seeing him with an electric guitar at some point, just somewhere in the memory. And I also vaguely remember him watching Pink Floyd's The Wall. Fast forward, now I'm like 16 years old. I lost my brother when I was 12. Once again, he was killed by a drunk driver. And I was just pretty much lost. I was really suffering. I was incredibly poor, the only person of color aside from my sister and the entire community, you know, for miles and miles and miles around. I never seen another face that looked like me. And I watched Pink Floyd's The Wall, and I don't know how exactly it came back into my life. Maybe I remembered my brother having brought it home one day. And I just was enraptured. It was amazing. It was unlike anything I've ever seen before. And I watched it completely transformed. You know, I get goosebumps even just thinking about it now. And I immediately saved up my money and I went to the local pawn shop and bought a beat up acoustic guitar. And I remember learning my first song was Wish You Were Here. And I practiced day and night to learn this song. I actually remember, truth, my fingers, like, I didn't know that you couldn't bend strings. If you know anything about song, there's some big bends. I was playing the acoustic guitar like an electric guitar. And I actually separated the tip of my finger from the bone or from the muscle. Yeah, because I was practicing, like, I was, like, 6 hours a day.
What?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's really crazy. It was like if I touched anything, it was like a pain like you can't imagine.
Wild.
But anyways, I learned this song. I got the courage to play it for my friends. I went over to their house, and I remember just making it through the first verse, the intro, and they're like, dude, what are you doing? That's white people's music. Like, you should be playing basketball or running. You know what I mean? This is the kind of... You know, I grew up in the 1980s, this is 1990s in Pennsylvania, and obviously they didn't know what they were talking about. They didn't know about all these amazing black guitar players or how even black musicians actually helped develop rock music.
That part.
But, so I actually quit the guitar, and that just so painful because I think about all the learning that I missed out on, all the critical years of developing that muscle memory, because if you want to be world-class at anything, it's about putting in the reps, just like an Olympic athlete. And but anyways, later in my life, randomly when I was like 21, 22, I walked into a library. I had heard about the libraries. I never saw a library. I heard that they existed. I didn't even know, Exeter, Pennsylvania, yeah, we have coal, but we also have a library? What? And I remember just randomly walking in and finding a book. And I don't know what, it's like, this, I don't believe in anything, but this for me was another moment that changed my life. It's like, the first book that I grab is On the Road by Jack Kerouac.
Wow.
Literally, I read it, I was out.
Yep.
I was gone. I hitchhiked across the country.
Oh my gosh.
And I was literally, it was almost the next day. It was like instant. It's like I had all this art and all this creativity, everything inside me, you know, and just to read this book and to see, because where I grew up, I like to say Exeter, Pennsylvania, where everything is impossible and nothing could be achieved. That was the mentality.
Oh my gosh.
And then to read Jack Kerouac's On the Road, it was like explosion. And anyways, I found my way eventually in San Francisco, and where I met my wife. We've been married almost 20 years now.
Congrats.
But she encouraged me, you should start playing. I know you love the guitar. You should take a guitar class. So I ended up taking a guitar class. And again, it was like a fish to water, man. I mean, it was like, it's just what I meant to do. It's what I, it's one of the things I was put on earth to do. And within a year, I was, you know, playing professionally. Not like I was great or anything, but I just was super passionate. And I'm like, okay, I want to do this for a living. And I'm like, okay, we, you know, we need to find a place that actually I can get education, because I wasn't, you know, as good as I need to be. And I discovered that Portland had Portland Community College. Yeah. And there was an awesome professional music program. And so I ended up nothing arranged. You know, we just ended up moving to Portland. I ended up graduating twice from Portland Community College. And thank God I was going to the Sylvania campus from Cascade. And I was like, it was like a 45-minute drive. So I was like, I have 45 minutes. I'm going to write a book. I ended up writing. So check this out. I ended up writing this book.
Dude.
The Ultimate Rock Guitar Dojo for Kids. A music method book for kids. And it was so funny because I was so broke at the time. Like, I was so broke. I couldn't afford any of the programs. So I couldn't save any of my work. And it's like, it's plus a musical examples with a super crappy program. I don't even know, it's like syllabus or something like this, some crappy music program that I don't even like. And anyways, I couldn't save anything. So I can't even remember how I did it, but I wrote my first book, The Ultimate Rock Guitar Dojo for Kids, on a shuttle ride PCC. And it ended up being actually a very successful book. It got endorsed by Dr. Barbara Oakley, who's one of the leading specialists for like advanced learning and how you learn. It had a 5.0 rating on Amazon for like a decade. This is crazy. And I wrote it just on the bus. So I'm just like, I don't have time. Anyways, so when I'm at PCC, I'm taking this bus ride between PCC, teaching guitar to kids. And I'm doing a jiu-jitsu class at PCC. And I'm doing this, and, you know, kids, they don't practice the guitar. This is like, kids, they don't practice the guitar. Anybody knows who teaches music knows that kids don't practice at home. So anyways, one of the guys there was about to get his belt, and he was a Marine. He was a tough SOB. And the teacher was supposed to give him his belt. This is at jiu-jitsu at Sylvania campus. And he actually didn't get his belt. And I saw a little tear dropping from this Marine's eye. And I was like, belt system plus guitar, rock dojo was born. That was my eureka moment back in like 2014, 2015. Right around the time I was writing that book, it's like the rock dojo. So at that point, my wife and I, we and this is what Portland's amazing for. We went to MISO, Micro Enterprise Services of Oregon. And we were able to get an IDA program. And for the first 3 years, because it was a three-year program, I was biking through the rain in Portland. I was known as the crazy guy with a guitar on my back and an amp on the side and an orange Ortlieb bag. And nice. Me just biking rain or snow to my after-school programs. And we did that for – we've been doing that now for – 10 years or 11 years, award-winning program. We've taught more than 2,000 students, which just blows my mind because we're not part of the school system. It's just my wife and I teaching groups of, you know, 15 to 20 students, something like this at a time. And but we've just been, you know, really dedicated our lives to this. And I spent the last decade, and my wife reminded me of this, is like every morning I get up and I do 3 pages longhand, and I'll just be like, okay, what worked? What didn't work? What could I improve? Mm-hmm. And I was just really perfecting the known world of music education, but there's still problems with that. And that really brings me to what I'm so excited about. So that's the origin story of Rock Dojo. But now we really get to where I am today. And where I am today is the author and creator of the Null Song Chronicles, which is a radical new way to engage music education. And, you know, most music programs fail kids in 4 ways. There's no meaning, there's no clear progress, there's no emotional connection, and there's no sense of ownership. So I rebuilt the whole thing. My wife and I turned guitar into a story-driven system where kids train like heroes, unlock music, earn collectible cards, and actually feel like they're part of a world that's bigger than them. And that's why kids are getting so excited. And since we've launched the Null Song Chronicles, which I've been working on it for the last year and been testing it for the last year, it's been, I've never seen anything like it. It's every day is like a celebration of the arts, a celebration of music, and more importantly, a celebration of the kids, because I'm teaching the kids not to play other people's music, not to play, you know, music from another generation. I'm teaching them to find their own voices, to reimagine themselves as heroes. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's just been the most powerful, powerful thing I've ever seen.
Wow. When you are conducting these, this is like, is it after school program or in school program?
These are after school programs.
What type of, I mean, I see the passion in you. I see it bubbling out of you, and it's absolutely infectious. And I can't imagine like a room full of children not losing their minds over this stuff. So like what type, I mean, I'm imagining the reaction. Please illuminate me. Is it what I'm imagining? Are the kids absolutely loving this? How are the parents responding to this?
Well, that's a great question. So, and that's one of the challenges. And it's one of the reasons I developed it is the kids. Yes, the kids are absolutely losing their minds. The problem is that's invisible because it's happening in a closed space.
Right.
It's in a room. It's happening. The parents don't necessarily see it. So one of the things that I grew really frustrated about, and I can start to describe why I developed in the first place. But one of the things that I noticed is like, I just wanted to give the kids something that they felt excited about. This is before now. You know, I wanted to give them something that they would just like, you know, usually give a kid a paper, they scrumble it up, they throw it, you know, it goes in their bag. I wanted to give them something that felt like an artifact, something that they wanted to show their friends, that they were excited to show their family, that they could collect. And so do they lose their minds? Yes. Every day the kids are asking me. I had a student just yesterday. She asked me, Brian, before class, we always, you know, tune up. Brian, can you play us a song? I'm like, sure. She's like, actually, can you play us a song before the start of every class?
Awesome.
I had another student who I was giving him this, all my comics, all my handouts, they start as like, this is what they look like when they're designed before they've been colored. You know, it's, I do, like I said, story-driven mixing comics and actual original music. And the kid was like, yeah, he said, you know, this is going to be worth it, because I gave him the, like, one of the, I don't know what you call it, like, when it's still in progress, it hasn't been colored. And he's like, this is going to be worth money someday. I say, yeah, if I grow it. What he goes and he looks at me, and this is a 10-year-old kid. He's like, what do you mean, if? You got to have a positive attitude, Brian. He said, when I grow up, I'm going to help you build this. And we're going to turn it into a movie. We're going to turn it into a video game. And we're going to turn it into a book.
Oh my
and
gosh.
We're going to call the book Null Mother. I just thought that was the most metal thing in the world, because in my story you have, it's called the Null Song Chronicles, and there you have this thing called the Null Song Virus, which there's this authoritarian regime known as the Order of Silence, who's led by the Null Father, and he hates creativity because he understands something very important. If people find their voices, you can't control them. So what does he do? He outlaws music. He restricts creative acts. You know, making in this world of the Null Song Chronicles, making music is actually illegal. And so, yeah, it's just the idea of like that this kid is like the Null Mother, just so metal, so horror, so like so Portland, by the way, and so unique to what we're doing. And these are the things that I see every single day. It's unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wild because it's happening at the same time where I talk to other teachers, and they're really there's a lot of challenge in the education system. And, you know, you asked me about the parents, and that's one of the biggest challenges, because, again, the parents don't see, you know, what we do. So that's been a big part of it is making it visible. It's one of the reasons that I'm very excited to be here today, but also giving the kids opportunities. Last week we had a student who, as they go through the program, they're able to unlock original hero themes. And the main spiritual leader of this world is called Amp Strong. He's this rough, gruff musical mentor that actually has an amp on his arm.
Oh,
and he's
familiar.
Strong. So Amp Strong. But anyways, the kids, they're obsessed with his theme song. It's, you know, I write all the music for this. And there's videos I have to show you. You can't even believe the kids listening to it. It's a hit. It's basically a hit song. It's a hit song. And so this kid, he learned it's, these are all, by the way, this is all instrumental metal music. So imagine kids losing their minds over instrumental metal music. But anyways,
I see
he learned the entire Armstrong theme and played it in front of his entire school.
Whoa!
So cool. So, so cool. And that's a testament to what happens when you actually engage, because going back to before the No Song Chronicles and traditional music education, which I completely turned my back on, because I said earlier, there's no emotional connection. And what I mean by that is kids, they don't know. Like every other guitar teacher on the planet is teaching Iron Man, Smoke on the Water, Seven Nation Army, which sometimes the kids know. But I realized, actually last year when I was doing a solo library tour, I was playing original metal music for kids. At the end of each show, I do a little lesson for the kids, and I had this thing called the Wheel of Riffs. And they would, these kids love to spin the wheel, right? So it spins, 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 lands on a song. Iron Man. Who's Iron Man? What is that? Spin it again. Smoke. What is Smoke on the Water? You play it. They have no idea. Because I play the riff for them. And then it's like, even Star Wars. I couldn't believe it. The Star Wars theme was on there. They didn't know. And that was so liberating. Because I'm not a person who looks backwards. And I was teaching a lot of those things because that's the traditional way that you do it. It's the known way of doing it. And just doing that tour and literally meeting hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids and seeing over and over and over and over, they didn't know any of this stuff. I was like, forget all that. Forget it, dude. The reason why the music matters is relevancy. And this music is not relevant. And I realized most music programs and even popular music programs, they're actually building their curriculum for the parents. And you know what? I'm like, let's build something for the kids, dude. Let's build a world for the kids. So I literally walked away from every musical influence that I knew. I said, forget all that. And I went to the stuff that inspired me as a kid. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I went to the X-Men, you know. I went to Star Wars is a huge influence. Saturday morning wrestling. I would wake up at like 5-6 in the morning because I was on the East Coast, you know, to watch like WCW. Probably have no idea what that is. I'm not even idea what that is, but it was something that as a kid inspired me because you had these larger than life characters. And I'm like, dude, it's all about story. It's about engaging their imagination, helping them to feel like, you know, that they're a hero. And why do I have to learn this scale? That's the other thing. I was talking about relevancy earlier. Why do I have to learn this scale? Why do I have to learn this chord? Well, now you have to learn this scale because the sound pirates are attacking the race. You know what I mean? And the only thing that's going to save the townspeople is you learning this riff. And guess what? If you learn this riff, you can actually unlock one of our special hero themes or one of our villain themes. And man, and I should say, and I have to give credit, the music is amazing, amazing. And part of that is I work with one of the top metal producers in the world because this, once again, Portland. I was fortunate enough to win a Prosper Portland, it's on my wall, the award right there, Reimagine Grant, from Reimagine Oregon Grant from Prosper Portland.
Nice.
And I was able to invest, and it was very expensive to make this. You know, I'm talking about 45 original tracks, you know. So I was able to invest with one of the top producers in the world named Arno Krakakawa. I hope I'm saying that correctly. Amazing, amazing musician. He's from France, but it's, you know, something so uniquely Portland, Prosper Portland, that enabled me to do this.
This is such a beautiful, the way that this success story plays out, and that this is not your success story. I mean, it is, but this is like the success story of so many, you said over 2,000 kids?
Yes, and also the organizations, you know, I should say, like, you know, if it wasn't for MISO with the right. IDA program in, you know, in 2012 to 2015 is a 3-year program. I would never have the money to buy a car to drive to my lessons to expand the business. That's what I used it for, right? So I would never have, or in a logo and all these things. We had business training. So it's a success story of MISO. It's a success story of Prosper Portland. But Prosper Portland's grant only paid for a portion of creating the comic book, the collectible cards, the original music. So there, we also were fortunate to win a Black American Chamber of Commerce and Pacific American Chamber of Commerce Impact Now grants, so, and also a RAC Arts Project grant. So these are all, so I got to give props to these organizations. They're the ones that are funding me to help me build this world that is, and people don't know it yet, but we're changing. Like, music education has been changed forever. It's not going back. People, they just don't know it yet, but they're going to find out really soon.
Oh, yeah. Love that. I love that. I remember my own musical education in elementary school, the driest, the most boring. I didn't re-embrace learning how to read music until I was well into my 30s, just because of what I took away from those elementary school music classes. This is not for me. This is not for me at all. It is for me. It's for everyone. It's for every single child in public, in every school, everywhere. And honestly, exactly. Do you see this? If we were to imagine, or if you were to imagine the most successful version of maybe not just Rock Dojo, but the Params, you and Sophie, what does that look like? Does it, in my mind, I'm thinking about, oh, well, success must be that this program goes nationwide, maybe even goes global. And it becomes like a household word. We don't even talk about music education anymore unless we are talking about it in the style of martial arts. We're talking about it because Rock Dojo changed the vernacular. That's how I'm imagining it. Am I totally off, or what do you think?
You know what? This is what I'm hearing now all the time. You know, I have teachers from all over the U.S. contacting me now. One of the parents actually created a franchise with more than 2,000 franchises. And she told me, she's like, dude, you could easily, and she's been mentoring me. You can easily have this all over the US. And then from the art side is like my, dreaming big. I would love to see comic books. I would love to see a graphic novel. I would love to see an animated movie, or a TV show of the Noel Song Chronicles. I mean, that's like, if I were to dream big, I would say, I want to inspire a generation of kids to pick up the guitar, because the guitar, it changes your life, man. I mean, it opens up every door and it teaches you to be successful, because like, and here's the thing a lot of people don't understand is like, it's crazy hard. Like, to play the type of guitar that I play is crazy hard. You need an unbelievable amount of discipline. You need an unbelievable amount of vision and passion. But those are exactly the same skills that are transferable to everything that you do in life. And with the Noel Song Chronicles and this new form of music education, I understand that not every student is going to be a professional guitar player. I wouldn't want them to be, because I don't want to fight with them for gigs now.
The truth comes out.
I'm just messing around. But more importantly, I'm teaching them how to be successful. And I'm giving them clear visual program or linear program that they can actually go through, and they can see themselves improving. They can see themselves getting better.
Beautiful.
Because of this system that I built, which is, like I mentioned, it's like story driven. But I also, one thing I didn't mention is I played way too many video games as a kid. And so I understand video game mechanics unbelievably well. Just remember having misspent my youth. And so I built it so there's a whole reward system that the kids can go through. And you can go through the Rock Dojo as it is today, going through the Noel Song Chronicles, and you can do it 5 years in a row. You'll never have the same exact experience because I built it that way. I built it so there's many different paths.
Right.
And there's just like video games. There's random. Right. Sometimes you win this one. Sometimes you win that one.
Right. Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining me today on Success Stories. It has been a fabulous conversation. I hope really inspires a lot of our listeners today.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And thank you all for joining us today for another wonderful success story. We'll see you next week. And remember, success is what you make it. Thanks again, Brian.